So I want to look at a little bit about faith and believing and stuff like that for the next few weeks as I was seeking God, walking and praying one day, and I was thinking about something else I was going to talk about. And he said that you need to talk to your people about faith because they are not believing. So I don't know who that's for. You don't have to be condemned about it. It's just some people are in need of a dose of faith to remember who you talking about, who you loving and who you serving and who loves you, and that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Why is it so much easier for us to believe a negative than it is a positive? Why is it so easy for you to believe that you're going to be broke as just to believe that you're going to be financially blessed? It's just as easy to believe you're going to be blessed as it is to walk around believing you cursed. Why is it so easy to believe that? Because we put so much faith in our circumstances and the devil that we don't have any faith left to put in God. So let's go to the scriptures together and let's talk about believing. That's all right. Mark chapter 5, we look at verses 35 and 36. I want to thank everybody that takes the time to come out a little early on Sunday mornings and pray. Appreciate that. You never know who's coming in here, what people are in need of. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 and 36. And you find it, say amen. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." Everybody say, only believe. Go to Mark chapter 9, verse 17. The Word of God says, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.'" Help me preach this series today and say this to the Lord. Say, "Lord, help my unbelief." And we're going to say it again, but before then, I want you to think about the healing that you stopped believing for now. I want you to think about the financial situation you in and how you stop believing that God's going to get you out of it. I want you to continue to believe about, I think about that loved one that you've been believing and praying for years that they get saved and they seem to be getting worse and you don't believe it anymore. I want you to believe about when God spoke to you about whatever it is, your purpose, your destiny, the job, the opportunity, the promotion, whatever it is, and you stop believing. Get that in your head right now. Get it in your head right now. Think about that thing. Now say it again like a real prayer. Lord, help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
Hmm. What I like about this last man that we read about is he is struggling with ambivalence like you and I usually are. And that's a good thing that we get to see people in Scripture so we don't have to feel so horrible and think that everybody's walking around never wavering, never doubting, and I'm the only one that's struggling to believe this. But this man says, when Jesus says, if you can believe, all things will be possible. And the man wanted this. And he said, Lord, I believe. And the next thing he says is, Lord, help my unbelief. You ever felt like that? By the time you hear a word on Sunday, Lord, I believe. By the time Monday morning rolls around, Lord, help my unbelief. Huh? The pastor laid hands on you and you fell out. And you was down there having visions about all the different stuff. And you saw angels. You felt their wings brush against your face when you was passed out on the floor. But by the time you got in the car, you and your husband started cursing each other out. And you had to say, Lord, help my unbelief. And I would like to tell you that I'm such a great man of faith and power that I always believe. And I see all kinds of things happen because I do not be pushed around and waver in my faith. And I will not let the devil deceive me. But there are times. In the morning time, I wake up, Lord, I believe. And by the afternoon, Lord, help my unbelief. From the time that I believed that God spoke to me, you're healed, it's done. By the time the pain hit again, I was back to unbelief. So the battle that we have, children of God, is that. Believing. It manifests in all kinds of complicated ways, but when the rubber meets the road, all we're trying to do is to believe God and take Him at His word. No matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what I'm going through, God said it, so I believe it. And standing in that position and not letting the circumstances of life push you off of that position, I believe God. Not allowing what people say to move you off of that position, I believe God. Not letting what everything's going on around you move you off of that position, I believe God. It's a battle to believe. It's just that simple. And we could rebuke principalities and powers and all kinds of stuff that we want. But if the bottom line is if the enemy puts lies in our mind and we get in agreement with that lie, we will stay in bondage. Because when you know the truth will make you free. But if you believe the lie, it'll keep you in bondage. If the Word of God says that God loves you without condition, then why are you struggling with whether God loves you or not? What got in your head to convince you He doesn't? See, whenever you go through trials and crisis and tribulation, when you go through a tragedy, one of the first things that happens is you have a crisis of belief. You've been believing that God is good, and then something terrible happens. And then the first thought is God good? Because all the enemy has is circumstances. So he tries to convince you, look at what's going on around you. This can't be true. This has to be true. But the unseen world is more real than what's seen. What's seen was given birth to by what is unseen. God, who we cannot see, spoke the worlds into existence. So what we do see, the sun, the moon, and the stars, was birthed from God, who we do not see. What is not seen is more real than what is seen. Those of us who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we call many things. We call Christians. We call disciples of Jesus Christ, Christ followers. We call children of God, sons of God. We're called the redeemed of the Lord. One of the things we're called is believers. And so we take that word and we always reduce it down to one thing. A believer is someone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins, rose again on the third day. So now I'm saved and going to heaven because I'm righteous because He became sin for me. And then someone who doesn't believe that is an unbeliever. But that's not the end of the story. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a lifestyle of believing. Are y'all hearing me? That a believer continually believes. It's not, okay, now I believe and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but what God says about money, I don't believe. What God says about healing, I don't believe. Now, the whole church historically has been doing that. We believe that Jesus came, died on the cross, rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father. We believe that. But then when somebody talks about healing, we say, well, that was for the apostles. That time's past. Nowhere in Scripture are you going to find that time is past. It was for the apostles. Now, if this is an instruction manual or not, if it's just a history book, then we might as well read it from cover to cover and be done with it. But if it's the living word of God, then it is an instruction manual. And so if I read and watch what Jesus did time and time again, seeing that people were sick and diseased and infirm, and he would come and he would heal everybody. Then I read what the apostles did in case you start thinking, well, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Well, now I can see what Peter did and John did when they were at the gate called Beautiful. And they decided they was going to go in the gate. And here was a man doing the same old thing, paralyzed, sitting outside that temple, asking for money. Peter looked at him and he said, silver or gold, I don't have. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. Grab that guy by his wrist. And his Bible says that his ankle bones became strong. This man started leaping and jumping and shouting because he was healed. So now I see that the healing that Jesus was operating in, he delegated to 12 men. Then he delegated to the 70. Now I see that people are running around all over the place. A deacon of all people, just the deacon, right? He's not on the platform. He's not one of the golden boys. But then he runs out, turns the city upside down, Stephen, because he believes in the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, even to the place he got stoned to death. But people were being healed and set free and delivered. And the only deal was he believed it. We sitting in this church for no other reason than I believed it. Nobody came up to me and said, you know what? Let me give you all of this proof that you called to preach. I heard it. I wasn't around prophetic people and people speaking in prayer lines over me. I was in the environment and nobody even believed in that. So if God was going to speak to me about my future, he was going to speak to me in my prayer closet. And he said, this is what you called to do and this is what you called to be. And you either believe it or you don't. You believe it or you don't. That's all it comes down to. It's no some super, super revelation. It's just that simple. If the word of God says it, will I believe it or not? What you believe governs your life. All of the natural realm functions by seed sown from the spirit realm. We are a field in the natural realm. And spiritual seed is either sown by the Son of God or is sown by the enemy. And when the Word of God is the seed, it's the truth. When anything that contradicts this Word comes in your heart and your mind, it's a lie. Now, if the truth governs your life, then you can walk in what God has predestined you to walk in. But brothers and sisters, if you let the lie dominate your mind, because see, what you believe governs you. So whether what you believe is rational or irrational, right or wrong, truth or a lie, if you truly believe it, you will speak in agreement with that lie. You will arrange your life around that lie. You will make decisions based on that lie. And it all comes down to, do you believe what God says? Do you take him at his word? When Jesus comes to this man, we first read about his name, Jairus. And he's a leader in the synagogue. And when he comes, you all be able to relate to this. He comes to Jesus at first. And he says, Jesus, I need you to heal my daughter. She's sick. Jesus said, oh, yeah, I got you. No problem. He starts moving in that direction. Now, here comes some woman that ain't asked Jesus for nothing. Jairus went up to her and said, hey, my daughter's sick. Could you heal my daughter? Jesus said, yeah, I'll heal your daughter. And then he's on the way. It's a horrible situation. You ever needed Jesus to show up like now, like yesterday? And you like, Lord, can you, you know what I'm saying? I need this now. I'm on the verge of losing my house. I'm on the verge of losing my job. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. I'm believing. I've been quoting your word. I need you to show up here. I'm on my last leg here. You ever seem like you told him to show up and he said he'd show up and he still hasn't shown up? I need y'all to be real with me. I need you to not be condemned, not high. I need you to be real with me. Have you ever felt like you thought Jesus was going to show up and he still hasn't shown up and your situation's getting worse? Well, this man can relate because he's asked Jesus. Jesus said, yes, I will heal. This is his kid we're talking about. And he said, yes, I'm going to heal her. I'm on my way. And then here come this woman who's been bleeding nonstop for 12 years. My daughter's sick, about to die. She's been dealing with this for 12 years. She can wait. She's been dealing with this for 12 years, and now I need you to hurry up and get onto my house and heal my daughter. But here comes this woman who didn't even ask Jesus. Grabs the hem of his garment. Jesus feels power go out of him. He said, who touched me? Now, you got to know that Jairus is probably like. Because now Jesus is all on this. Well, you know, who touched me? It's a multitude of people out here. To answer that question, I need you, my daughter. I'm about to lose my house. My marriage is about to end. My finances are falling apart. They're about to lay me. I need you to come on and hurry up, Jesus. I asked you. You said you'd do it. I need you to hit my situation here. Meantime, he's trying to find out where this, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? His disciples like, everybody touching you. Lord, there's many people out here. He said, no, I felt power go out of me. And then here's this woman, scared. Then she finally admits it was me. I touched you. He said, I believe that I'm healed within myself now. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now the whole time, everybody's applauding this woman for her faith and how great she is, how wonderful. She get a miracle and this man's baby still sick. You ever sat somewhere sick, saw somebody else testifying about how healed they got? And you've been, they've been saved for like a year. You've been saved for, you got saved, with Moses led you to the Lord. And you've been saved so long and you've been sick the whole time. And then this person been saved for a year and here they healed of some terrible disease. You still walking around in pain. Jesus, you said you'd heal me. I saw your word. By your stripes, I'm healed. Well, while this is going on, while Jesus is yet speaking, one of the servants from the man's house said, don't trouble the teacher anymore. She's dead. Okay, now I was believing God for healing for 2 years. Now that it didn't hit seven, situation's dead. I mean, I kept praying, God, you know, help me, give me favor on my job. Not only did I not get promoted, now I'm laid off. Situation's dead. Some of you sitting here under the sound of my voice have a situation that you think has gone to the place that's so messed up that it's no point in bothering the teacher anymore. Just leave him alone. I mean, he could heal, but come on, she's dead now. So. Sounds like that story about Lazarus, doesn't it? That Jesus gets word that Lazarus, your friend, Mary and them's brother, is sick. Jesus said, okay, and waits 2 more days before he goes. And then the Bible specifically says, now Jesus loved Lazarus. Y'all got to read the Bible like it's for real happened. He said, now it's like it specifically points out, now Jesus loved Lazarus. Now if he loved Lazarus and he knows he's sick, then he should have done everything he could to get there and heal him. He can heal him. He's capable of healing him and he loves him. If he loves him, why didn't he show up? He waited 2 more days. Then told his boys, I'm going to let him die. You love them. Yeah, that's why I'm letting them die. What? How many times in your life have you doubted God's love for you because of a situation? Who you think gets in your mind and does that? Huh? I mean, if God really loves you, will he really let that happen? You don't know it's the devil, but you start pondering stuff like that. He really loves me. I mean, if it was your son, would you just think, how could he love me to do that? And so, Jesus, now we're starting to see something. This woman gets healed, and this man's daughter is dead. His situation got worse. But the worse your situation, the bigger the miracle. Well, that sounds good, preacher. But you ain't in my situation. You ain't in mine. Are we getting ready to have a situation competition? Well, I'm sick and I'm this and I'm that. Well, you know, I lost my son. Well, I lost my mother. Well, I lost my... This happened. Well, I was molested. I got it. I ain't minimizing any of it. But the bottom line is, have you given up because your situation is dead? Jesus says to the man, hey, don't be afraid. Only believe. He didn't say, hey, this is what I need you to do. Now I need you to pray and fast for 12 hours. And I need you to read the latest book by the latest big thing in the body of Christ that gives you 7 steps on how to get your daughter raised from the dead. He just said, only. He said, I don't need you to see, I can do this. I want to do this. Got every intention of doing this. All I need for you is for you to only believe. How could it be that simple? It is, but it isn't. And so Jesus goes and he raises this 12-year-old girl from the dead. Now, what's the greater miracle? A woman stops bleeding internally all the time, or a 12-year-old girl was dead? And then when Lazarus' situation, he'd been dead for 4 days. So he didn't just let him die. He let his situation get dead enough to stink. Dead enough to stink. That means it's been dead for a while. So dead that then rolled the stone of doubt and unbelief over it because it's over. See, that's what we're struggling right as we speak, is some of you then rolled that stone over your situation. And when I say remove the stone, you like, no, because now I'm going to smell that stench again. The stench of disappointment. The stench of pain. The stench of getting my hopes up just for it not to happen. Look, I don't believe it. I got a stone over it. It's over. Now I'm content. I'm at peace. No, you're not. And so Jesus waits after 4 days and shows up. And then he tells Mary, he says that anybody that's dead, when it comes to me, they can live again. And then he asked her, do you believe this? Same thing I asked you, Christy. Do you believe this?
And she said, yeah, I believe in the last days that you're going to raise them up. She went to her Sunday school lesson she learned when she was a little kid. Or the, you know, that little Sunday school. Yeah, in the last days, I know that you're going to raise them up. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, the resurrection is me. I am. I am. Not I'm going to be. I am. I am right now the resurrection and the life. I'm not talking about the hereafter. I'm talking about the nasty here and now. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am. So he says to the people, he says, remove the stone. They removed the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And that dead dude in his grave clothes come hopping out of the tomb. Just imagine. Imagine. If I went up and there was a coffin, I said, whoever, come forth. Everybody in it, you think you'd be like, hallelujah, what you be doing? Ah! No, the glory would fill the room and we would know you'd be running. And if you didn't, I'm the preacher at the funeral and I'd be gone before you. So I'm going to meet you at the graveyard. I just need to get to the graveyard, that's all. We got to be there by one. So you got, you know, I'll meet you there. Because when it really comes down to it, we don't really believe. We don't really believe that God can still raise somebody from the dead. We don't really believe that He can heal somebody of cancer. We don't really believe that He can heal me of whatever I got. We don't really believe that He can save my crazy, whacked out loved one. We don't really believe that God loves me without condition. We don't really believe it. Because if we believed it, it would change everything. And so could it be that sometimes, because Jesus loves us so much and He knows what you can handle, that maybe the woman with the issue of blood was on her last leg. I mean, that was it. It's been 12 years. She can't take it. And so she receives the healing. But maybe He knew that I'm going to do something, Jairus, that for you, that is beyond what you can even comprehend right now, because I can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work within you, that I can do beyond what you can even think to ask. So I'm going to take the situation beyond what you can even think to ask for to show you I can do that too. Ah, Jesus. It's been things in my life that I didn't think were possible until Jesus took me beyond my circumstance, further than I thought I could ever go or be, to find out. If you had told me some of the things I went through in the last 3 years, that I'd be able to stand and with my full armor of God still on and preach the gospel with conviction, passion, and power after what I've been through, I would have said, no way. But God took me further than I could even think to ask Him to show me it's the power working in you greater than you can even think. But in the meantime, the battle is in believing. I've always found it interesting about us that we can believe that a Jewish guy named Jesus, thousands of years ago, was crucified by some Roman soldiers, said He was the Son of God. Only reason we know this is the Bible said it. Somebody here been taken back in time in a time warp somehow, and you was right there and seen it all? It was people that was there when it happened didn't believe. And we read that Bible and somebody told us, or we read it ourselves, or something, so however it went down at a church or at school or wherever you was at, somebody told you Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross. And because He died on the cross, He died for your sins. So no matter what you've ever done, what you ever gonna do, if you just believe that, then God's going to forgive you of all your sins. And guess what? You get to go to heaven if you drop dead right now. Now, you believe that ridiculous story? A Jewish dude thousands of years ago died on the cross, said he was the Son of God. It'd been a bunch of people said they was the Son of God. David Koresh said he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. It'd been a bunch of Jim Jones said he was the Messiah. Well, how we know Jesus wasn't lying like the rest of them? You believe it. You believe it. You saved, as saved as you ever gonna be, simply because somebody said what the Word said and you believed it. Now, the only difference between you and a Muslim is you believe and they don't. Because same Jesus that died for you died for everybody. Everybody that's ever going to be, he thought of on that cross and died for him and rose again on the third day. And the only reason that you are receiving it, walking in it, and going to heaven and somebody else is not is because your believing is what appropriated it to your life and their unbelieving is what's blocking it. Now, if that's what you did to get saved, why is it so difficult to understand that tithe and God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive, and he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake? Why is that so hard to believe? And then my next question is this, Shelley. If God, I can't trust him with something temporary like money, what makes you think that I can trust that same God to send me to heaven? If he that untrustworthy that you think that if you gave 10 measly percent of your money that he not going to do what the Bible said he would do, then why do you believe you're going to heaven? Same Bible that said Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the same Bible that talks about the tithe. Same Bible that says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the same Bible that says if you give, it'll be given to you good measure, pressed down, running together with men, given to your bosom. Same Bible. Same Bible that says Jesus is the Son of God. It's the same Bible that says if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things should be added unto you. Same Bible. So if what got you saved is believing, what gets you to walk in the fullness of that salvation is continuing to live a life of believing. I'm going to let it marinate. Because it's a good question, isn't it? I mean, if I told Deke, if I said, you know what, I'm going to give you $10, man. I know you need a little money. I'm going to give you $10. And then I didn't give it to you. Then I turned around a few weeks later and said, I'm going to give you $1,000. Would you believe me? If I can't trust God to take care of my temporary need, what makes you think you can trust him to take care of your eternal needs? Well, in Sunday school, they talked a lot about going to heaven, but they didn't talk about money. That's because the Sunday school teacher was bound up with a spirit that wouldn't allow her to tithe, so she was going to teach you about it. And when you had your adult Bible studies, would nobody talk about it neither, because all of you sitting up in there wasn't doing it. And God help the miserable preacher that come up here and had the nerve to start talking about it. Because then the pulpit committee's got to get together. Meet me at my house at 6. Talking about tithing. The bylaws state, don't be talking about money. Paragraph 1B. You in violation, Reverend. No wonder the devil beats our brains out. His situation is organized like an army, a united, powerful army, all going in the same direction to bring destruction to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you busy firing preachers because they preaching the truth.
Yeah, I know it hurt, but it hurts good.
Hurts so good.
Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should. You make it hurt so good. Da-na-na-na.
It hurt in a good way. See what I'm saying? If you take this bitter pill, it's going to heal some stuff when you swallow it.
Because I got to ask myself the same question. Why is it if God says a simple thing like, give X amount of money, I got to figure out and fast over and see if it was the devil or God? If God told me to go next door and just knock on the door, and then when they open it, they're going to give me $1,000, I wouldn't be fasting to see if it was God. But when it comes to me doing the giving, then all of a sudden the same Jesus that I'm waking up in the morning, oh, you love me, thank you for, oh, how he loves us.
I do love you. Give $1,000, my son. Oh, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom.
You made it all through Transformers 1 and 2 without having to pee, but can't make it for 10 minutes. If that same faith is what we release to get saved. That's what I'm trying to get you. What is going on right now that convinces us in the natural that, yeah, I'm going to heaven when I die? You that mess up like you do, that sin like you do, that still get high like you do, going to heaven? You better get out of here. But you know what you do? You go to the Bible where it says that Jesus became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. That one of the names of Jesus is that he is Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord, our righteousness, that I'm right with God because of what he did. You say it with conviction. So why is it that when it comes to your healing, now all of a sudden you don't believe it? Think about some of the ridiculous things we believe. There are people who never been homeless in their life that believe they're going to be homeless. Spend every day with an inordinate fear about I'm going to end up sleeping in the truck. Rather than going, thank you, Lord, for another day that I have a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food in my refrigerator. No, you wake up going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? This is the day. This is the day that the devil has made. I will be depressed and wallow in it.
Hurts so good. Could it be that the situation that seems to be getting worse is only setting you up for a miracle you couldn't even conceive to ask? Now, are you willing to remove the stone? Are you going to keep it covered up because you don't want to deal with that stench of disappointment? But then the question becomes again, you're going to ask it for weeks. If I can't trust God to do this, why am I so convinced that the truth is he died for me? How do I know that? There are people that think we are absolute idiots for believing that. See, we come together to reassure one another, to encourage one another in the faith, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, there's a lot of people that are not Christians, and they are out there thinking you are a complete idiot to think that somehow Jesus isn't the Son of God. Well, that's polytheism. You worshiping three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You walk around talking about that. No, they're one. You just said they, so how can they be one? You believe it? Because the Bible said it. Now, why are we trying to find a different way to walk now? You were born again by faith. Now you got to walk by faith. Faith is what God has given us to enable us to believe Him. It's that simple. He's given to man, to every man, a measure of faith, the measure of faith. He's given you enough faith for everything that you need to believe Him for in your lifetime. But you gotta choose to. Now there's the battle. Because He's not gonna give you faith to override your free choice. Because if He did that, then that means we believe in universalism, which means everybody gonna get saved, nobody going to hell. In fact, there are some very popular preachers as I speak that are preaching there's no hell. And I say this to you prophetically, if those men continue to speak that lie, then the thousands they possess will be dispersed to faithful people who will preach the truth of the gospel and not the lie of the devil. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you. When you pay attention to what's going on around you, you find out that the enemy is working overtime right now as we speak, putting questions in people's heads like, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? Which brings me to the next question. Maybe there's not a hell. Which brings me to the next question. Maybe Jesus isn't the only way. Huh? And if you're going to stand up for what you believe, because you're a believer, you need to get back to believing. Am I making you feel bad? Because it's not my objective. Did I not give you examples of my own wavering? So if I give you examples of my own wavering in faith at times, then that means that I can't be throwing stones at you, correct? That I'm only trying to encourage you. Just it's the only thing that's saying. Why come to a church where the person is going to avoid preaching what you need to hear? Now, I was going to preach something else I was all fired up about, but God apprehended me and told me that my people need to hear about faith because they're wavering and they're being unbelieving and not believing stuff no more. And so go preach faith. Faith comes by the word and hearing the word of God. So as I preach it to you, faith is coming to your spirit and you're going to find yourself getting strengthened and encouraged and believing God again. Several of you have said to me, what I like about you is you real. Yeah, because God is real. Because this word is real. Because I believe it. Because if I don't believe this, I ain't coming in here. Ain't no point in being here. Ain't no point in sitting here. Ain't no point in being a part of this. Ain't no point in coming to church on Sunday. Ain't no part in looking for a church that don't preach no truth so you feel better about yourself. If you're going to sit here and stay here, then you're going to have to deal with the fact that we believe Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That He has power over the enemy and He's delegated it to us. Now, who want a head coach that wouldn't try to get the potential out of the team? I feel like that's as far as I can run, coach. Okay, that's good, Joe. Then when you're in the heat of the battle of the game and that other guy went an extra lap, when you quit, he going to go that extra mile too and win that game. So you can do it. Get back up and run one more lap, brother. You can do this thing. And you'll be thanking your head coach when you get the championship ring. And say, you're going to be thanking me when you go back home and you rebuke that devil that keeps getting in your mind, trying to convince you of a lie, trying to convince you that God doesn't love you, God has left you. That's a lie. What you believe governs your life. there is nothing powerful about a word unless the word releases what's really in your heart. Otherwise, I could say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. And then it just, poof, you're rich. But inside here, you think, I'm never going to be rich. I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor. Are you saying I'm rich? This ain't no man. This is not a book of spells and incantations. This is the word of God, and it is activated when you believe it's the word of God, and when you receive it as the word of God, and then when you believe it, you start speaking in agreement with that word. You start arranging your life around that word. You make decisions based on that word. I can tell what you believe by what you do. If I say that I believe I can fly, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Something, something every night and day. Now, if you keep coming up to me with that, Pastor, I believe I can fly. Say, that's awesome, man. Next week, Pastor, I believe I can fly. That's good, man. That's cool. You catch me on the wrong day, and you're going to say, Pastor, I believe I can fly. I'm going to say, then let's get up on this roof up here. Let's get up on the roof. No, no, no. You're getting on the roof because you believe you can fly. Now, somebody kept telling me that, jumped off the roof when I did their funeral service. I say, one thing I can say about Brother Joe is he sure believed he could fly. Because he believed it, he spoke it, and he did something in agreement with what he believed. Now, it don't make it true, but he believed it. There are people I know who won't go to the doctor because they know it's bad news. Now, where'd that come from? If people go to the doctor all the time and they give them a clean bill of health. And so he'll be a healthy person. And they'd be like, I ain't going to the doctor. Like, not going to the doctor is going to change what's going on in your body? Something got in your mind that says you got a pain that says you got such and such a thing. And so now you're scared to go to the doctor. The doctor's going to say you got such a... That's a lie. Why you believe that? And see, we do the battle of believing is about when the doubt hits. The doubt is designed to bring you to unbelief. Just as faith is given so you believe, doubt the enemy uses to try to draw you into unbelief because unbelief stifles the power of God in your life. Let me show you. Mark 6. Mark 6, verses 4 through 6. Okay. Jesus is in his hometown, Nazareth. You read in other areas where Jesus healed everybody in certain cities, certain towns. He gets to Nazareth. They start saying, oh, isn't this Mary's son? We know his brothers. We know his sisters, so on and so forth. And you get to verse 4, it says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work. What did that say? He would not. He could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. The Son of the Living God, more powerful than any Benny Hinn meeting you ever gonna go to, is Jesus himself is going to town, and people are bringing all of their sick and all of their infirm and all the demon possessed people, and he's healing them all. And he gets to his hometown, and it doesn't say he would not. They made me mad and wouldn't honor me, so I'm not gonna do it. It said he could not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. If I'm the devil, then the thing that I'm going to try to do, because I disdain you, is to get you to unbelief. If I can get you to doubt enough and get you to the place that you do not believe, then I can get you in a corner and I can destroy you. But that nasty believing thing, if I can't get them off of this faith thing, then it ain't nothing I can do. I can keep hitting them. I can keep putting it around them. I can keep lying to them. But they're going to keep casting down those imaginations. They're going to keep believing the word of God. And at some point in time, what God says will manifest. And the devil doesn't want that. So if he can stop the power of God, how are you going to do it? Unbelief. Unbelief. How is he going to stop me from doing anything that God said to me? Unbelief. When God called me to preach, there have been countless times I could tell you that I started doubting and getting real close to it. I just feel like, you know, I don't think maybe I didn't hear God. I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm telling you this because I know. I'm telling you this because this is the good fight of faith. This is the battle. This is how it works. This is the bottom line. Anything God brings into your life, He gonna bring it to you by showing it to you in His Word. And then you're gonna have to take Him at His Word. The world says seeing is believing. But in the kingdom of God, if you don't believe it before you see it, you'll never have it. Now, you Bible scholars, am I not telling the truth? Are you saved because God showed you something physically that you could see to show you what the Bible says about Jesus is true? You saved if you were saved? No. Whether you was a kid or whether you was an adult, somebody said it and you felt in your heart, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is real and He died and He rose again, and I can't do this on my own, and I messed up and I make mistakes and I'm not perfect. And that preacher says that all of my imperfections and all of it, I could take it to Him because He's going to save me, not because of what I've done, but because of what He's already done, and I believe it. And so you came up somewhere and you cried and you received it and you got baptized and you did all that because of that principle. What I'm telling you, that same principle is what you got to deal with day in and day out. Day in and day out. And I'm telling you, there will be times when everything around you suggests that what God says is a lie. We got here and we thought we was going to get a $300,000 house because we stepped out in faith and God was so impressed with our faith that He going to give us a $300,000 house and all kinds of riches and gold. And He was just good. And then we got here and we ran into a financial wall and we couldn't even pay our rent. And the whole time we were giving tithes and then giving offerings. Now you think that it didn't work over overtime in my mind. This crap don't work. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I didn't sit in my bedroom at times and sit there and say, God, you said you'd do this. And I got kids. I got a wife. I can't even pay rent, let alone you said I was going to have a house. I can't even pay for this apartment. And I'm giving and I'm doing what you said do. And I wouldn't hear nothing. Then I get in my head, how could God love you, bring you out here and make a fool out of you like this? He told all them guys in the Air Force, God called me to preach. You left 13 years and he going to do this. And now you ashamed. If they call you, you sitting somewhere working in a factory and can't even pay your rent. And then you fool them up to be giving 10% of the money you broke behind God to some church. And the preacher won't even let you preach. He make you clean the toilet. And after a long journey of what do I have to do and how do I have to do it, and maybe I have to fast, and maybe if I quit doing this, and maybe if I quit watching that, and maybe if I stop saying that, and maybe if I be a better person, and maybe if what have I done to make God, it's all come down to this. Whenever you release faith, there will always be the testing of your faith. And the testing of your faith produces patience, steadfastness, perseverance. The testing of my faith this last few years took me to another level of faith. Now, I wouldn't have chosen the pathway that I had to take, but I'm telling you what I know. I stood up here, somebody who many times have quit my life, thought I was a failure, convinced that I would fail, convinced I'd never be nothing, convinced that I was stupid, and had that in my mind. And as soon as I do something, it only be so long before something happened and I quit. And when my son is buried, then the devil went overtime. God doesn't love you. Why are you doing this? You had to done something wrong. You crossed somebody. You're cursed. Only a cursed man would have to go through something like that. You couldn't possibly be blessed. And I felt something I never felt before that I didn't know was there, that rose up on the inside and said, you know what? This is not going to make me quit. This is going to make me preach harder. This is going to make me preach longer. This is going to make me preach with more passion. I didn't even know it was there. I like to tell you, man, I always been somebody that I didn't back up. I didn't back down. No, I was the runner. I was the hider. I was the avoiding guy. I was the denial guy. I wouldn't take responsibility for nothing guy. But something on the, deep on the inside called the Holy Spirit got stirred up because I went to a place that God wanted to show me. Let me show you what's in you. I didn't make this happen, but since this happened, I'm going to show you something's in you that you didn't even know was there that you're going to need to go to the place that I'm taking you. And anybody who's given up on their faith, don't give up. God is great. God is good. The enemy is a liar. He's a liar. You think the Apostle Paul told us to put on the full armor of God because we wouldn't be in a battle? And the battle is believing. It's just that simple. Will I believe? Peter, who is a good example, gets out of the boat, right? It's a storm. Everything he sees suggests that this is ridiculous. Ever felt that way? God's told you to do something or give some, whatever it is, and the first thing is, this is ridiculous. Based on your situation, this makes no sense. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not. When you live from the realm of your spirit, you can walk by faith. But when you live in your soul, you live by feelings. I told my wife the other day, man, one of the hardest things in life to do is to speak contrary to what you're feeling. That's the battle. Because it's like, I feel like a complete loser. But you feel the Holy Spirit telling you, say you're more than a conqueror. And you know what usually comes out? You're more than a conqueror. Because that's what you feel. You feel like a loser. You ever been depressed? Just straight up depressed. And then you feel the Lord saying, say that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's hard. But that's a believer. A believer says, even though I'm in this body, even though I'm in this world, even though I'm in this life, this is what the Word says. And I will speak in agreement with this word. I will make decisions based on this word. This word is the truth. The only reason you believe that Bible, these 66 books in this Bible, Catholics got more than that. Now we saying it's the word of God, and some people saying it's just some antiquated book, some outdated, archaic something. In fact, every time you look on the History Channel, they showing you some Thomas wrote something, Mary Magdalene wrote something, they found it in the cave somewhere, and then it's a big conspiracy. Why didn't that get in the Bible? The canonization of Scripture ain't some deep spiritual thing when you look at it. It's just a bunch of Catholic dudes getting together saying, this will be in here, this won't be in here. This is our standard. Canon is Latin for standard. And you're going to believe that them dudes just miraculously put 66 books in there that's God's Word? You believe that because that's what the Bible says. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So you believe it. Muslims don't believe it. Oprah doesn't believe it. But you believe it. You believe it because of faith. It's the same principle. Do you know the gifts of the Spirit work by faith? You know how many times that I didn't hesitate because I felt God was going to have a prayer line and I was like, nah, if I tell somebody stupid and I tell them the wrong thing and then they're going to look at me like I'm a fool. And then you got to go, no, this isn't about me, the Holy Spirit. And you told me to have a prayer line, say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done. And so I got to step out in faith and just go with it. What? Christy there. All we did was stand in faith. It wasn't like I felt like I saw an angel right there and the angel said, lay hands on her for it is done. Believe the word. So spoke the word to him. Do you believe it? Now the battle is in believing. I believe it. So if you stick with the seeing is believing, then you don't know how to walk in the kingdom of God. And then I would be remiss if I didn't teach you how to function in the kingdom of God. That's what I do. That's my job. To teach you how to function in the kingdom of God. To teach you about Jesus. To get you to the place when you walk out of here, you have a more intimate walk with Him. And you can't do that without walking in faith. And so Peter walks out of the boat. Now I'm going to tell you the trick of the enemy. Hold on, I'm going to be done. Tell you the trick of the enemy. He steps out of the boat. He sees Jesus. Now he's in the boat. It's a storm. Now he has to know it's a storm. He's crashing around in it. There's no way he can't see the wind and he can't see the waves. He sees it. He's in it. But then he sees Jesus walking on it. The water. Not being blown around, not being moved by the storm. And then something in Peter was like, I want to learn how to go beyond the natural. I want to go beyond what's possible. I want to do what Jesus is doing. And he says, Jesus, if that be you, bid me to come. And Jesus gives him his word. Come. Now Peter's got a decision. Do I react to what's going on around me like my boys in the boat and hide and be in fear and just hold on to everything and just keep speaking doom? Or do I step out on the word that Jesus speaks? He said, come. I stepped out of the boat. He starts walking. Then the Bible says, then he saw the wind and the waves. Now question. He already seen it. What was about seeing it now that made it so different? He meditated on it.
It's not complicated. It really isn't.
He saw it, but when Jesus said, come, he didn't respond to what he saw. He responded to what God said, and he stepped out on the water, and he was able to do it because he kept focusing on Jesus and what his word said. The reason he couldn't keep walking is because he stopped looking at Jesus, stopped thinking about the word, and started just meditating on, wow, this sure is windy out here. I can't hardly hear myself thinking so loud. Look at my boys still back there crashing around in the boat. And if they're crashing around in the boat, what in the world am I doing? This can't be happening. I don't believe this. Jesus! Jesus grabs him, puts him in the boat and says, and I don't believe he said it like this. Oh, you a little faith? Why, I guarantee you heard it preached like that. Oh, you a little faith? Why did you doubt? I believe he said, oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? Just like the little kid that's learning to ride the bike. And then they fall. And then they start crying. You don't go, get up and get on the bike. You was doing fine. You pick them up. You dust them off. And you say, how you doubting? You rode 2 blocks. Now don't quit now. Get back on the bike. Same way you rode that bike two blocks, get back on, you can do it again. And what I'm saying to you out of the love of God in my heart is get back up and ride again. Don't quit. You were walking on the water. You believed the Bible. You saw amazing things starting to happen in your life. You saw the power of God. You saw the love of God. You experienced God. You were there. Do you remember them? You were there. And you got to remember, even though you're sick now, you remember He healed you. You were healed. You were walking in it. You were delivered before you went back to doing what you're doing. Remember when you were looking at Him and He said with love, come. Something you wanted to walk away from the same old thing, the same old trauma, the same old mistakes, the same old problem. And you said, I'm going to step out. I'm going to walk with you. But what the devil has done is he's got you meditating on the bills instead of the promise. That my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. Now, the more the bills come, the more you need to be in there looking at that and quoting that truth and keeping it set in your mind. Because trust me on this, if you don't, you will sink in your circumstance. I'll end on this. I had scriptures I go to, but I'm good. And when God sends the children of Israel into the promised land, I love this scripture. It's in Joshua 6, verse 1 and 2. And they come to Jericho. Now, Jericho has this huge, impregnable wall. It can't be penetrated. It's tall, it's wide, and that's all they saw. They didn't see an army. They didn't see kings. They didn't see gold. They didn't see... All they saw was this wall. God says to Joshua, see, I have given you the city. Okay. What if God told me that this wall is just going to disappear? And I look at this wall and then God said, see, the wall's gone. It's still there. Y'all not getting it. Use your imagination like when you was a kid. You going to the promised land. You go to Jericho. Huge wall is all you see. God doesn't say, hey, I'm going to drop this wall and then you're going to see that I've given you the city. He says, see, I have, past tense, given you the city. How have you given me anything? It's just the wall. But Joshua didn't do that. He listened to God say, now what I want you to do, because I've already given it to you, is every day for 6 days, you all just gonna walk around it. Now I'm thinking, if I'm with them, if I had got past the command that God said, see, He's given us the city. That's the first hurdle. How has He given me a city? The next one is, now I'm going to tell you to do something ridiculously stupid. Just walk around it. Eat, go to sleep, get up, brush your teeth, get dressed, put your armor on, blow the horn, have a praise service. Let's go walk around it again. Do this for 6 days, God says, and on the seventh day, I want you to do it 7 times. So now, think, dream with me. Listen to me. Dream with me. If you already walked around for 6 whole days and ain't nothing happened, now on the seventh day, He gonna tell me to walk around it 7 times. Okay, now I gotta walk around it 7 times in 1 day. And then He says, after the 7th time, shout. I've given you the city. Well, they do this, and Joshua tells them, shut your mouth when you do, I want you talking. Because I've had to do 40 extra years in the wilderness because your daddy and them kept running their mouth about what God couldn't do. Now, I'm this close to getting what he promised me. I'm 80 years old and too tired for you to be running your mouth with doubt and unbelief. Shut it up and walk. Now, though they ain't talking, you think they ain't rolling around in their head? This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. What are we walking around this wall for? Well, at least if we tried to find a way to climb over it or something, but just walking around and playing this ram's horn, what is that supposed to be? I can't stand that ram horn anyhow. And he's just blah, 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 praising God. And we walk around. That's what they thinking. You think Joshua ain't thinking it? Joshua got to be thinking, I sure look like an idiot meeting these people around this wall, but hey, it's what God says, what God. He's trying to take captive of his thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. And he walking around that wall, and after seven times, God's so awesome, the wall didn't start crumbling and wave. It fell flat. To this day, you can watch the History Channel, and they tell you that they have evidence that Jericho's wall fell flat. Just whoop! And he said, now go on up now. Now you think they faith wasn't strong then? They went in there, woo, whatever they did back then, woo, I don't know. But they went in there and they started jacking people and taking stuff and built their faith. That's what God wants to do. It may seem stupid right now. You just walking around the same dumb problem, the same old sickness, the same old bill, the same old issue. At the whole time, God's already saying, by my stripes, you were healed. He's already saying that I've already opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. And the whole time, you're walking around your situation, and your situation doesn't seem like it's going to move. But this man of God's got a word for us. If you keep walking and keep believing, that wall's going to drop. Let's stand up and shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is all we got. But it's everything. It's all we got. See, I'm not smart enough to have more than that. That's one of the reasons I think God called me. I'm not smart enough to twist this around and try to make it say something to lead you to do something. I don't know how to do that. I'm just telling you what it says. Just telling you how it works. You wouldn't get mad at me if I told you how to turn a car on, would you? You kept saying, I just want to get to the store. I can't get to the store because my car won't start. And then if I told you do this or that and then it'll start, you wouldn't get mad at me. You'd thank me. This is how it works. Do you know that this Bible is in the debate? That people are saying this is not the absolute truth. Why, you think we have homosexuals get married now? And it won't be long after that you're going to see people marrying two and three people at once. You're going to see it. And you're going to see it because people start to question, that's not my truth. This doesn't govern me. But as a believer, the same way you believe the first thing you believed in here, you got to do for all of it. And there's only in this earth the truth and the lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The devil is the father of lies. So when you believe the lies, he keeps you in the bondage. See how simple that is? We think that it's something really complicated. But the bondage of a city is the collective mentality of people who have bought into the lies of the principalities and powers over the city. We come in with the truth. And the truth, if you believe it, will set us free. The city free, the state free, and the world. Now you got a decision to make. Will you get in agreement with what you see? Because Joshua, he got that see. So you either see with the eyes of faith, or you will see with your natural eyes. And the Bible says we don't look to what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Is that the Bible? Now, a disciple of Jesus Christ is a follower of Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. So you follow this Word. When you mess up and make a mistake, get back up, say, God, I messed up, sorry, help me out, and you keep walking. It's a walk of faith. Every day you got to put your armor on, and your armor ain't some physical thing. It's in here. It's the loin belt, like Aaron Rodgers does, the championship belt there, honey bun. The loin belt of truth is this Bible. It's the written word of God. The Roman soldier, when they put on the loin belt, everything was dependent upon the belt. Because if you didn't have the belt on, just like with your clothes, if you don't have the belt on, all the rest of it gets loose and out of place. So it's the decision, first and foremost, will I believe that this is the truth? No matter what it looks like, no matter what people say, is it the truth? Then I'm going to believe it. Then you got to put on this breastplate of righteousness. That they would put this breastplate on and cover them from front to back. So when they were getting stabbed or something, they had this breastplate on. The breastplate of righteousness is you convinced that you're right with God. After you mess up, that will be the test on whether you'll put on your breastplate of righteousness that day. Because it's easy to get up and go, I'm right with God when I got it all together and doing all the right stuff and saying all the right. But when you done straight up messed up and sinned against God, to get up the next day and say that I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for your blood because my sins have been forgiven. Thank you. Now give me the strength to overcome this thing. He said you got to put on the helmet of salvation. You got to put on your mind your salvation. You can't forget about your salvation by the time Tuesday afternoon comes around. You got to put on your salvation on your mind. The Bible says set your mind on the things which are above. That means you get up. You already making up your mind. Say something about God as soon as your eyes open. Just say, okay, good morning, Father, something. To start being conscious of Him. Put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation is more than just going to heaven. It's heaven in you and heaven right here. Show you to let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And these are the shoes. The shoes that they had on. They put these brass things on their shins, then covered the top of their foot, and there were spikes on the bottom of the shoe as much as 3 inches long. So when he says, having done all, stand, he's saying, dig your feet in peace. Everything coming at you, anxiety, frustration, fear, lies of the enemy, dig the spikes of the shoes of peace into the ground, and having done all, stand there. Stand on it. God said it. God said it, so I believe it. God said it, so that settles it. God said it. But look at what's going on. God said it. Those spikes. And they can also use them to stick their enemy.